This is WGN Radio. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Malika Mitra is an investing editor and reporter at Money.com. Malika just launched a new weekly investment newsletter called Investing with Money, where they break down the week's big market news and talk about all of the hot topics, including, I guess, crypto and traditional investing. Malika, it's John. You're on WGN. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
What's the big news maybe now through the end of the year? What are you most going to be watching?
Yeah, so I think like a lot of other people, my eyes are on the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and their kind of battle against inflation. As we've seen, when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, investors are quick to react to that. And so, you know, usually the end of the year is a good time for the stock market. So hopefully we'll see the same, but definitely all eyes are on the Fed right now.
Well, do you think the Fed could do or say something that is going to take back some of the gains that we have won?
You know, I think that it's hard to say exactly, especially since what we can expect from the Fed seems to change. It looks like now people are expecting around a 50 basis point raise, which would be, you know, a smaller raise than the last four that we've seen. So that could, be a good thing for stocks going forward when there's a smaller raise, and investors tend to get excited about that. It's hard to say. A lot of experts right now are saying that we are probably going to see some more lows for the stock market going forward, or, you know, maybe not complete bottoms, but not a straight up for the rest of the year.
So what mistakes have investors made lately, and what advice do you have for them generally?
Yeah, so when markets are volatile, like we've definitely seen this year, investors tend to make mistakes that they might make generally, but they're really amplified during this time. So one of those is selling prematurely. So if you open up your investing app and look at your portfolio and see it's in the red, that might be scary, and you might be tempted to sell before you have more losses, even though, you know, you don't actually lose money until you sell. But so one thing that people do is sell prematurely, but that means that they're not able to benefit from the eventual recovery. Another thing is that people tend to just worry about the short term. And, you know, as scary as it can be when you're seeing all these numbers floating around and your portfolio in the red and all of that, you have to remember that if you're investing for the long term, whether that's retirement or even, you know, a few years out for a house or child's education, keep in mind that historically the stock market has shown us that it does recover. And so if you sell now, missing out on those, you could be missing out on the market's best days, which could really hurt your portfolio.
You know, it's kind of counterintuitive to me, but I think people's brains must work this way, is that a conscientious person would look at their portfolio, they would manage it, they would ask their stockbroker, whoever money manager who manages it, to do something, because I'm trying to be a conscientious investor. It's my life's savings here. And the person who is irresponsible and not sufficiently conscientious does nothing. They don't look. They're in la-la land. They got their head in the sand. It's the second guy that probably weathers the storm better, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's hard to do. I mean, I struggle with that too when I open up and look at my own portfolio. You know, you want to act, but a lot of the time doing nothing is the best thing. And, you know, you should always have an investing plan and check in on your portfolio, whether it's quarterly or month or, you know, yearly or something like that. But if you are checking all the time and acting based on short-term moves, that's when you're going to probably get yourself into some trouble.
So then any tips for investing during a recession? Do you keep doing what you were doing, or should you at least target sectors of the economy that seem to be better able?
Yeah, so for a lot of people, the best thing is going to be to stick to their investing plan. But, you know, I completely understand that some people are going to be really worried. Some people have shorter timelines. You know, if you need some of the money that's invested in the short term, then, of course, you may want to look at protecting your portfolio a bit. So one thing that financial advisors recommend is making sure that you have enough cash on the side to cover any kind of emergencies, especially with recessions. You know, we tend to see layoffs, and so typically the recommendation is enough to cover 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses. But I've been talking to some experts who do advise bumping that up to a year or so during a recession. And then like you mentioned, there are some areas of the market that tend to do better. So defensive stocks can help protect your portfolio. Those are stocks of companies that provide goods and services that people need, whether or not there's an economic downturn. So think utilities like electricity or, you know, food and cleaning products, things like that. People are going to need no matter what. And so those can be good areas to turn to. And then also, you know, maybe avoiding growth stocks for now, or and those are companies that are kind of expected usually to grow at a higher rate than the average business in the industry, but they can also get really hurt when there's a downturn in the economy.
Malika Mitra is the investing editor and reporter at Money.com and has a newsletter called Investing with Money, worth checking out. It's nice to meet you today. Thanks for helping us out, Malika. We'll call again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
There's John Apt on the Wintrust Business Lunch, the co-president at Apt Electronics and Appliances. Hey, John, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too.
I was going to say, you are the largest single destination electronics retailer in the country, or something like that. Isn't there some qualification for you like that?
Something like that, yeah. We're the largest single store retailer of home appliances, electronics, and more.
Give me a quantity. Put some number behind that. What does that even mean?
It means we do a lot of business out of one little store here in Glenview, Illinois, and we sell online, we sell over the phone, we sell over chats, we sell any way you want. But we're a privately held company, so we don't disclose financial information.
I always ask you this question, you never give me a good answer, and maybe that's why. but you could have said we sold 7,000 TVs on Friday, or something like that.
Okay. I'd have to think about that a little bit, but I'd have to add them all up because there's so many different models, hundreds of different models, but we sold quite a few TVs over the weekend, yes.
What's your advice for people on that, John? Because we've all been there, standing there looking at the wall of screens going, I think this one looks better. No, I think that one looks better. How do I shop for a TV when I'm looking at all of those screens there?
Well, everybody's eyes work differently. So, you know, what I think might be the best picture may not be what you think is the best picture. So I think going in and checking them out is a nice way to do it. We do have a lot of customers that really just go on our website and you know, a lot of those pictures kind of look very similar. But you've got to really take into account the feature sets you want, yeah, the quality of the picture screen, the technology that's behind the picture, all sorts of different things. I mean, we have TVs now that look like picture frames. So, you know, some people may want something like that on their wall. And when the TV's not on, it looks like you actually have a piece of art on the wall.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Different things to consider.
But I'm glad to hear you say that because I have sometimes thought the mid-priced one, to me, looked as good as the higher-priced one. And I didn't want to be, you know, penny-wise and pound-foolish. But if I think that looks better, you would not discourage me from going with the less expensive one, right?
No, not at all. We encourage our salespeople are here to help customers make the best decisions for their needs. I mean, we sell a $99 TV and we sell a $99,000 TV. So, you know, the choices are really endless, and I think it's nice to have a variety of choices. It can get confusing, and that's why, you know, we're here to help you through that process. But you know, it's come a long way, I guess, since the advent of TVs.
Somebody put a $99,000 TV on the thing and throw down their credit card. How does that go?
We just received it. We just got it. Actually, they came out with it. We've talked about the Consumer Electronics Show in the past, and I think I talked about it on your show years and years ago. They came out with this technology, but they never made it available to the public until this year. And it's basically, it looks like a sound bar, and you push a button and it basically rolls up into a television. It's like wallpaper almost. Pretty interesting. Definitely not for everyone, but really cool to see. I don't know if TVs will go that direction or not, but interesting for sure.
Well, is it a good view? I mean, I get what you just described, but I don't want to pay $100,000 for that. Is it a pretty cool, is it a good view? Is it look good?
Yeah, the picture's amazing on it. But again, you know, not many people are really going to spend $100,000 on a television. But it definitely has a wow factor, and it's something to see. We have it actually behind ropes in the store. I think we're the only retailer in the Midwest to actually show one.
So the popular items for Black Friday were what?
Well, in addition to televisions, video game systems, I think you saw a lot. Last year, you couldn't even get a PlayStation 5. It was next to impossible. And those people who did get them were reselling them for 2 to 3 times the price of what they paid, on marketplaces and online. This year, they made both Sony with their PlayStation 5 and Microsoft with their Xbox Series X, made them more available. So we put some online. We had some in the store, and they went briskly. Breville, the small appliance maker, did real well with us this year with smart ovens and air fryers and those sorts of things. And also Dyson, they call themselves a tech company, but they make vacuums and air purifiers and whatnot. We did well with a variety of their stuff, including something called an air wrap, which is a real fancy sort of curler, air dryer sort of product.
Headphones are always popular too, aren't they?
Headphones, Sonos, that wireless sound system for your home, those things did real well over the weekend. Even computers and tablets and any kind of tech really sold well this weekend.
I'm reading here, the average customer is spending more this year, with ticket averages increasing to over $850 as customers buy more high-priced items. Is that happening at your store?
Yeah, I think we sent you that info. Our average order size definitely went up this year. I think part of it is better product. It's also some inflation going on here. And products are more expensive this year than they were last year, too.
If I shop online today at apt.com, are there any special promotions?
Yeah, we're having Cyber Monday today, which is obviously turned into a big shopping event online, and we've got lots of deals in all sorts of different categories, and it's real easy to find. If you go onto our website at abt.com and click on the sale button, you can find gifts in all sorts of different categories. You can get present or gift recommendations as well, defined by the type of person that you're looking for. If you've got someone who loves movies and wants something for their home, if you've got a gourmet cook, whatever you're looking for, we've got gift categories to sort of make it easier to pick out those gifts for people.
The three things customers most want this season are making sure the item's in stock, getting quality products on sale, best price, and staying safe while shopping. What does that mean, staying safe while shopping?
Interesting you say that. We've the mask mandate went away a while ago, and I guess Chicago they raised the level of concern with COVID outbreaks over the weekend, or I guess maybe sometime last week.
Yeah.
And we did see a lot more people in the store with masks on, and we saw a much bigger uptick to our buy online, pickup, curbside pickup delivery.
Yeah.
And also our same-day delivery. We get, people who don't want to leave their house at all. We saw a lot of people take advantage of that service, where you buy something before 12:30 and you can get it the same day delivered in the comfort of your own home.
Wow. Okay. Continued success. Thanks for all that you do, John. I think it's just great that your store is here in the Chicago area. It employs, how many folks do you employ, John?
We just hit 1,800 pretty recently, and we're hiring. So we're always hiring, and we're looking for great people, friendly people.
ABT.com online, ABT.com online. John, always a pleasure. Congratulations.
Thanks, John.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Stay well. A lot of ground to cover today with Jim Dahlke, the national editor at American Inno. You can click on ChicagoInno.com to read the writing of him and some of his colleagues. Welcome back, Jim. You ready to roll?
Hey, John. Yes, thanks for having me.
I'm going to bark some names out at you, and you tell me what we should know about them. I'm reading on your website, and it says here that Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday aren't just for traditional retailers. Startups are getting in on the act. You have the first ever national startup gift guide. That is gifts from startup companies, right?
That's right. Yeah, we, you know, we at American Inno, you know, have coverage of startups in more than 40 cities across the U.S. And yeah, this year, you know, kind of asked our reporters to sort of surface some companies that people should have on their radar for gift giving this year. So yeah, if you're tired of looking in the same old places for gift giving inspiration this year, we put a list together of about 20 unique products from upstarts across the U.S.
Some of these we've talked about on this radio show before. Bartesian has the machine like a Keurig that makes cocktails, right?
That's right. So Bartesian, headquartered here in Chicago, just like a Keurig, they make pods that you can put in the machine and make an old fashioned, a margarita, a gin martini, for example, with each pod having the right amount of bitters and extracts and juice concentrates to make the perfect cocktail right from your kitchen. And the startup was part of Oprah's favorite things just list a couple years ago. And even actress Mila Kunis is on board. She joined the company's board of advisors just the other year. So yeah, you can get the Bartesian for about $360 and make the perfect cocktail right from home.
It's a cool-looking piece of counter hardware if you've got enough counter space for it. You have to buy the pods and supply your own alcohol, but I've had a cocktail from one of those when we were advertising them here on this radio station. It works, and it makes a nice drink. For the environmentally conscious caffeine fiend, there's a product by a company called Atomo, A-T-O-M-O. What should I know about that?
Yeah, this is a Seattle startup that's making coffee in a can. They created a beanless cold coffee drink made from upcycled ingredients that are typically discarded. So think like date pits, for example. So this startup in Seattle raised a $40 million earlier this year. They say their coffee making process requires about 94% less water and emits about 93% less carbon than traditional cold brew coffee. So they make a couple different flavors, including an oat milk latte 4-pack that'll run to you about $17.
What's Chop Value? What do they have?
This is one of my favorite ones on the list. So Chop Value, a Boston startup, they are taking used chopsticks, of course, typically destined for the landfill, and they are turning these chopsticks into furniture and other home goods. So think charcuterie boards, butcher blocks, coasters, even tables and office furniture, really made directly from chopsticks. You can get the wine and cheese set, for example, for about $46 over at Chop Value.
What's this banana phone?
Yeah, the banana phone is not any more complicated than what you just described. This is a banana phone. Believe it or not, this was a startup that actually made its way to Shark Tank earlier. They're a Buffalo, New York company. They actually expect to do about $1 million in sales this year. Their banana phone is about $40. It connects wirelessly via Bluetooth to your cell phone. So instead of talking into your cell phone, you can pair it and talk into your banana phone. So if you're looking for maybe a white elephant gift this year that you want to maybe stand out with, that the banana phone's not a bad idea.
And so it's essentially cordless. It's using the Wi-Fi. It's linking with that, right?
That's right. Yeah. So it'll be accepting calls regularly from your cell phone, but instead of talking into your phone, it's your banana phone.
How about the Pink Picasso kit?
Yeah, this is an Alabama startup. Really interesting business. They kind of create the paint by numbers kit. It's a trend that I think is popular really in many places right now. Speaking of Shark Tank, they were on Shark Tank last year as well, and actually were part of Oprah's favorite things list not too long ago. They've been featured on Good Morning America and Kelly Clarkson, and really kind of what their bread and butter is, lets you create some custom pieces as well, so you can upload images and kind of create some custom paint from numbers kits. So yeah, their custom paint by numbers kit will run you about $94.
I don't know if this is what you just described, but say I had a photo of my dog or my kid or me or my wife. Could I upload that and then they would give me a paint by number so I would have this beautiful painting of whatever?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, I think, the big focus of what they're doing is the custom element here. And so, yeah, that's a big piece of what they do. And then
I want to do that.
I'll mention one more creative one from a startup in Durham, North Carolina called Woobles. This is a company that makes a crochet training kit. So whether it's a crocheter on your list or a crocheter to be, they've created a kind of a beginner crocheter training kit. It'll run you about $100, and it'll let you make little creatures like a narwhal or an owl or a penguin. A really cute little guy. And for anybody who's interested in crocheting, it's a really neat company. Also, another one that appeared on Shark Tank this year, landing a deal from Mark Cuban and Lori Greiner.
Here's a Chicago connection, Made In. Talk about them.
Yeah, Made In is a pots and pans startup down in Austin. They've been growing really quickly, and they've actually got some funding from the Alinea Group co-founders, Nick Kokonis and Grant Eckerts. And this is a startup that's been named one of Time's best inventions a couple years ago. And yeah, they make, you know, really quality, premier pots and pans. And so you can get their six-piece stainless set for about $420.
Stainless, so it'd be pots and pans and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going back to Pink Picasso Kits. Okay, so the website for that, I'll just Google Pink Picasso Kits, right?
Yep, you should be able to find it. And we've got links to all of these products on our website as well. So if you head to ChicagoEno.com, you'll see the gift guide there, and you can click on all of these products right there on the page.
That's ChicagoEno.com, and that's National Editor at American Eno, Jim Dahlke. Nice to talk to you, Jim. Thanks for the help today.
Thanks, John.
Very timely stuff. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. We've got more business news. We've got Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicagoans are expected to spend about $719 this holiday season. Crane says that's according to data from business management consulting firm Accenture. We'll be spending our money on gifts, holiday travel, and food. Chicago's spending is about $50 less than the national average of about $770. It's up about 19% over last year, and a good chunk of the increase is because of inflation. Prices are up nearly 8% over 2021. A woman from Florida is suing Chicago-based Kraft Heinz Foods for $5 million. She claims the company is misleading the public about how long it takes to prepare their Velveeta mac and cheese cups. She alleges Kraft violated federal law by saying the dish takes 3.5 minutes to prepare. She argues the listed prep time refers only to the amount of time needed in the microwave and doesn't include the time needed for additional steps like tearing open the packet, adding water, and stirring. Kraft says it'll strongly defend against the frivolous lawsuit. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and we're happy to be sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chicago's got some iconic family names in the business of food, doesn't it? Malnati's is one, and I recently spoke to the director of sales and marketing there, whose name is?
Sally Glunz.
Are you part of the House of Glunz family?
I am. Who do you know?
Well, no one, so Sally hooked me up with her husband's brother.
Jerry Glunz. I'm president of Lewis Glunz Beer Incorporated.
Which got its start at the House of Glunz 134 years ago, and how Lewis Glunz got to Chicago is quite a story.
Our great-grandfather immigrated from a town called Paderborn, Germany in 1879.
He stopped along the East Coast to try to make a go of it.
And he was having some hard times.
And one of the men he came from Germany with, a neighbor, had gone on to Chicago.
Oscar Meyer. Mr. Meyer sent my great-grandfather a telegram saying, you ought to come to Chicago. They had this big fire. This is a boom town.
So he did and started working at a brewery owned by another iconic Chicago name, Charles Wacker. That was when Chicago's water was polluted and the Schlitz Brewery in Milwaukee was shipping barges of clean drinking water down the lake. And then it wanted to start shipping the beer that made Milwaukee famous to our town.
That's where Mr. Wacker came to our great-grandfather and said, would you be interested in help distribute these people's beer out of Milwaukee? And that's the start of the business.
As the years went by, the Glunz business evolved.
We have a beer company, a wine distribution company, and a chemical company that all started from there.
There's the Glunz Tavern.
My dad's sister, my Aunt Barbara, and her son started the tavern back up. Had not been a tavern since Prohibition.
And right next door on Wells is where it all began, the House of Glunz.
You know, now it's really fine wine and fine liquor, but it's also like a step back in time because that store has not changed. You don't find a lot of buildings like that that are really that snapshot of time. They've got murals on the walls and stuff. It's pretty cool.
You can't help but think that the original Mr. Glunz, great-grandpa, would be pretty happy with what his descendants have done with what he started.
His son got the business, and then his grandson got the business, and now his great-grandkids are running it. So it's very exciting.
From the farm to your belly, today's National French Toast Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Fraser Nagy joins us, the CEO of Tables.com, spelled TABLZ.com. You may have heard about this unique way to make sure you get the good seats at the good restaurants. Welcome to the show, Fraser. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
How does your business work?
It's very, very straightforward. If you think about it, everywhere in our economy, you can upgrade, personalize your experience. You know, think of airlines, first class comfort plus. Think of a game at the Bowls, courtside tickets for upgrading your hotel room. Yet restaurants, the last industry that doesn't let you upgrade your seat. So what we do is we work with great restaurants, sports bars, clubs, and we help help these restaurants match Nikki with your favorite seat. And sometimes it's free, sometimes it's $5, and some guests are paying up to $100 to get the seat they want at the time they want.
At the time they want. That's probably the real premium, too. Are you saying that restaurants are reserving spots, or maybe sometimes these opportunities will sell out? The table or the date I want isn't available.
Well, that's just the thing that, you know, from the high-level perspective, what this is called is revenue management, which is the combination of premium seating with dynamic pricing. So, you know, restaurants are the last industry to do this, and this is a real fundamental problem. You know, I'm sure, you know, you and your listeners know that restaurants rank at the very lowest in terms of profitability, and that's because they haven't looked at their inventory the way that I think they should. And that's where they, you know, they don't have to give away all their seats for free weeks in advance on you know, platforms like OpenTable or Resy or Talk. The way tables works is we work with those systems. So there's still lots and lots of free tables. But, you know, if you make a reservation, you don't know where you're going to sit. You know, it's like roulette. You get a 1 in 40 chance you might get that booth or that window seat or that bar seat that you really, really want. So restaurants just take a small portion of their inventory, let's say 10%, 20% of these sort of premium seats or unique sections, and people can voluntarily upgrade to those seats. So it actually doesn't change their operations in any way, but it creates a huge economic value for that restaurant and an amazing guest experience for their diners.
So is this new, and are you more interested in people to use the site or restaurants to use the site?
Well, the real key for us is for our business and for the restaurants themselves, it's a real win-win. So how Tables works is we actually integrate into the restaurant's website, Instagram, and their Google. So wherever you would click reserve now traditionally, instead of automatically sending you to one of those reservation platforms where all you get to do is pick your time, our system simply asks you a question. Do you want to upgrade your seat? Just like you know, in an airline, you want extra leg room, you want priority boarding, or no thank you, I don't care where I sit. And if you say no thank you, well, we send you automatically to whatever system they traditionally use, OpenTable, Resy, Talk. But if you say I want to upgrade, well, then you get to use one of these really, you know, our technology is really amazing 3D environment where I'm sure you've seen these cameras maybe in real estate or, you know, browsing a condo or your next home. But we 3D map the inside of restaurants, but our technology helps identify these key tables, and we help those restaurants price that real estate for certain times. So, you know, to your previous question, yeah, we're not saying restaurants should be charging at Monday at 5 p.m. to sit beside the bathroom, but Saturday at 7 p.m., you know, for that coveted window seat or next to the fireplace or that seat with the view, restaurants should absolutely be charging for this. And the last point on this is that this is the first transaction ever that has no cost of goods. So if you think about it, when a restaurant only makes 5%, maybe 10%, and that's even before inflation, you know, we just heard on the business, you know, report just before this at 8%. Well, what does that $20 upgrade look like when the restaurant's only making $5 on your dinner? Well, it can be worth three times their profitability than the meal itself.
How many restaurants in Chicago are using this, and drop some names on me?
Yeah, you know, what's exciting is we're just starting out. COVID, you know, just finished, and you know, hundreds of restaurants are now joining Tables. But we have some amazing partners in Chicago. You know, some classics like the Gene and Giorgetti family. You can today go and book the very table that Frank Sinatra used to sit at, and it's been a very, very popular table on our platform. We have incredible partners with the Rocco Core family of restaurants. They have several locations in Chicago, including downtown and up north, closer to Skokie, where you can, same thing, there's some incredible tables there that you can select from some of their beautiful dining rooms. And, you know, some other restaurants like Blue Sushi and Plank, part of the flagship hospitality group. These are just a number of some of the dining rooms using this today that are not only, you know, creating a really fantastic experience for their diners, but, you know, these properties are making $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 worth of extra profit, and some will even go north of 50 next year.
We're talking about the website Tables, TABLZ.com, with Fraser Nagy, the CEO. I don't know that I know restaurants or would care so much to have a table per se, but I do know where I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit by the front door where there's a cool breeze. I don't want to sit by the restroom. Am I able to maybe exclude locations, or do I have to pick one per se?
Well, you bring up such an important point, and I've worked in restaurants my whole life, literally since I was 13. I've been bussing, washing dishes, bartending, helped open restaurants in my 20s. But what I like to say is who you're dining with and why you're dining dictates where you want to sit. And the easy way to describe this is I could go to the same restaurant 5 times, but if I'm having dinner with my mom versus my best friend versus a group of 10 buddies trying to watch a game, that changes where I want to sit. So, definitely, be a great example by the door. My mother hates that draft, and I'm absolutely, if I had the opportunity for my next reservation to make sure that we got an area which, fit her needs and my needs, then that's wonderful. So I agree with you. There's just as many reasons why you don't want to sit in the section as many as you do. And that's, that's so important. We even had an email recently from an individual that was in a wheelchair and said, my God, this system is amazing. How much anxiety I have going out to dine. And in fact, they told us, well, the tables you currently have listed aren't even that great. What about that one over in the corner? This is perfect for us because guess what? I love to make fun of the washroom table. But for this individual, not only was it a really good accessible seat, but it was actually the one they wanted, but they wanted access to that. So
yeah.
Everyone has a different reason for where they want to sit. And it's just insane to me that going into 2023, restaurants just play roulette and put you wherever they want without knowing any information on what would make your experience better.
So I will pick the table I want. Fraser Nagy, the CEO at Tables, TABLZ.com. Fraser, nice to talk to you. What a great idea. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on today.